Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 513, Abominable.
Yep.
Try to contain your excitement.
Yeah.
So before we dig in, let's go around the table. Everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
This is Tom. And quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Store, wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And, of course, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers, which is our group, and also a way to share the show with a friend or friends if you have more than one. We're rooting for you.
We are.
And, of course, our Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get bonus content and the joy of knowing you're helping out. So there's all that. Abominable.
Yep.
Do you remember anything about this movie?
Yeah.
I swear to God, I was forgetting that this movie happened while I was watching it.
I'll tell you what. It's a cute movie, extremely generic.
Yeah.
Cute story, but there's nothing.
No, the kid liked it.
It is aggressively mediocre.
Yeah.
And
it looked good.
I can't even say that because I saw it at an AMC theater locally, and yeah. I don't think they had the film calibrated properly.
Oh, really?
It was always
Saw it at that AMC theater?
Yeah, and it was blurry.
Well, why are we not calling that AMC theater out?
It's Chesterfield Classic.
Yeah.
Well, that's the AMC theater that's in a mall that has two stores remaining in
right.
it.
Oh, really?
The escalators don't work, and I mean, there's zero food court
right.
establishments. I mean, that mall is literally
it's on its last leg.
Yeah, I mean, you know it's bad when they don't have a Sparrow.
That's
I
bad.
Mean, I thought it would be like nuclear war. Cockroaches would be getting pizza at a Sparrow.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad.
So it's like that one. I mean, that most of the screens are like in stereo. They don't even have the surround sound working. I mean, that theater is like.
Their IMAX one is pretty solid. I saw Queen in that one, the Queen movie. I saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
They crank it up to 11.
Yeah,
they
and that
want
movie
you
want.
Yeah, but they want you to know. But they, I mean, I saw Ad Astra there, and it was fine. And they crank it's like they're putting all their energy into that. They're like,
right.
They're like, this is IMAX. They probably have people from IMAX like come check it out. They probably get in trouble if they don't keep that one up.
Probably.
Other than that, honestly, like, I saw Lion King not in surround sound. So when all the music and stuff's playing, it was just totally stereo from the screen.
Yeah.
And I complained about it, and the manager tried to tell me that, oh no, that's just how the movie's programmed. I'm like, you're telling me Disney has a new movie that doesn't program for surround sound?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They gave me an asinine answer,
right.
And I was just like, no.
Well, I said to him when I was leaving, I was like, hey, FYI, I don't think your movie's calibrated right because this is blurry. I took my glasses on. I took my glasses off. I flipped my glasses upside down because sometimes you'll get glasses where the polarity is reversed. I've had that happen. And so like I wouldn't watch the whole movie that way, but I wasn't going to get up and get new glasses.
Right, right.
But it was like it was always there were always parts that were blurry. Like the main thing was clear. Whenever you saw that billboard that says Everest, that was always blurry.
Wait, did you see this in 3D?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, I mean, I went to that same theater and didn't.
I did not see.
Yeah, that was surprised you caught a 3D.
Oh, that was. I thought you meant like you were flipping your glasses.
No.
Like,
these
are
readers,
so
I wouldn't wear those for a movie.
I did not see this in 3D.
Yeah,
oh, that's too bad. You saw it in 3D.
Well,
just because that can make the experience so weird if it doesn't work right. You know?
Right, and that was. I mean, I wanted to see it the first screen and get my evening over with, and there was a 6 o'clock. That was the only. You know me,
totally.
I would not seek out a 3D
movie. Totally. No, that's a shame. But yeah, it was a cute movie and I really like what they were doing with a lot of it. But it was just, you know, I found myself bored in a lot of it. There weren't the jokes there. When we talk about movies like Shrek, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the Lego movie, there's so much humor for adults to keep them entertained.
This is a lot of kid jokes.
It's a cute movie for kids, and the jokes are very kid jokes to make them laugh. But there's not a lot for adults to keep it.
And puke.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the puke because it was like,
I didn't have a problem with their jokes. Yeah. They weren't immature to where I didn't like it. But my point is that they were lacking in the writing for the adults.
Right.
So I found myself disengaged from a lot of it. And although I think the story's cute, the meaning, the emotional beats, I'm like, yeah, cute story. But I left it thinking, well, I would never watch this again.
No, it's just not
entertaining enough.
I barely watched it the first time.
All right, we'll see you next week.
I was literally the only person in my theater.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
We had a pretty full theater. We saw it at like 3 o'clock yesterday, me and the kid.
That was a question I was going to ask you guys. Something that was very surprising to me is I went on a Saturday afternoon. So you're thinking, okay, obviously kids, you know.
You're bracing yourself for torment.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I sat in the back row because I'm like, I don't want someone behind me making noise and kicking seats.
Puking
or whatever.
On my head.
Whatever these kids do. But I'm bracing myself for that. And it ended up being like there were like 3 couples in there. And there was one mom with her 2 kids.
Man, you pissed those couples off. Because they were just like, nah, we got this. But
the thing to me is, I wonder what kept people away, because it's a DreamWorks movie. It looks
what was
like
the last DreamWorks movie, though?
Dragon?
Right?
Oh. Really?
Yeah. I think.
Okay.
It's a huge movie.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, DreamWorks makes big movies. So, but the point is, this is the kids' movie. There's no other animated kids' movies out right now. This is a brand new one. It's by DreamWorks, someone that has a reputation for quality films. And I'm like, why weren't people showing up? I mean, it only opened to $20 million.
Like, when I saw the trailers, I was like, this looks like garbage. It looks like a little kid movie.
Yeah, like it. I don't think it looked like garbage. I just think it looked like
very childish.
I think it looked like exactly what it was, which is an aggressively mediocre movie. Yeah.
I think with the Disney stuff, you can take your 4-year-old to 10-year-old, and it works. Like, there's something there for that entire age gap. This one, I never felt that. This I felt it was like 3 to 6.
But the problem is 3 to 6-year-olds don't stay put for an hour and a half very well.
That's the problem, right?
Right?
Like, I think parents are like, there's no way I'm taking my kid to a movie.
Like, this mom with the 2 kids, I mean, we recognized right away, like, oh, these kids are too young, and they would not sit still.
Yeah.
The boy was standing the whole time. The girl was, like, asking for snacks and being loud, and the mom constantly, shh.
Did you cuss him out like I did in Rambo?
I did not, but they left a little over halfway through the movie because she realized, like, we knew it, that with them walking, like, they're just too little for to sit still for this whole thing. So those kids are too little, but I do agree that, like, for them sitting at home, this is the movie for them. Like, it's
you can get up and walk away, you can come back, you don't miss anything.
Great movie for little kids, but yeah, it's just not entertaining enough. But it's a shame because it is a very sweet story. I just feel like the writing needed someone to punch it up and make it more entertaining, more jokes.
This felt like something that should have gone straight to Netflix.
It definitely seemed like it could have been a Netflix movie.
Yeah. The movie opens up with, from the Yeti's point of view, he's breaking out of a secure facility and gets away.
And I also do feel like, real quick though, because when we're introduced to this, I didn't really know anything about the movie, but I'm like, it did kind of look like DreamWorks B Team.
Yeah,
like the animation.
Yeah,
was
I agree.
Not
yeah.
Dragon quality. I mean, Dragon.
Dragon's next
Dragon
level.
3.
Yeah.
I mean, think about those movies. The first one looked really good, but each movie looked better and better. And 3 is like next level. 3 is not as good as like Toy Story 4.
Right.
But the animation is gorgeous. And this movie looked very film student.
Matty.
3D.
It felt,
like, you know,
it felt
just
very like matte.
So I feel like you know how Disney always used like the A Team and B Team. I feel like A Team was on Dragon 3, B Team was developing this. And I'm not trying to. I mean, it is what it is.
This is the Captain Underpants team.
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know. I was just saying.
But
that, like,
that is DreamWorks too. Yeah. I feel like that.
Did that bomb?
I mean, it made. Yeah, I think.
Okay.
I mean, it was a low budget movie. I have it in front of me. I'm not Rain Man all of a sudden, but like, the budget was $38 million worldwide. It did 125.
Okay, that's not a bomb.
So, yeah. It's not, but I mean,
it's Captain Underpants. Like, that was a big.
I mean, I think that they thought that was going to do more than that. Yeah. I mean, worldwide, 125.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, compared to Dragon 3, 519, sure. Boss Baby, 528. You know, Trolls 346.
Were they Storks too? Storks as well?
No.
Okay. And they do Trolls? You said Trolls?
Yeah.
Got a trailer for that, and the kid was like, yes.
You know, but that, see, that.
That was their lowest grossy movie since Turbo at 283.
Oh, wow.
What was Turbo?
That was the snail.
That
Ryan
was the
Reynolds.
Snail one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a disappointment. But, you know, this. Captain Underpants, yeah, it felt like more of those, like a smaller, quieter release.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still think this is even way underperforming for that. Like, if it makes a ton of money overseas, that'll be the only way this saves itself. I mean, opening to 20,
yeah.
I definitely didn't expect that. But yeah, the animation I just felt was a very much more simple. Like, the city and some of the stuff looked kind of cool, but then like when you got to characters, it just felt very simple.
And it's gonna get swallowed up. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, this is going to be gone. You're never going
to
see this.
I mean, there's not much coming out to compete with it, though.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, people aren't going to be like, Joker or Abominable.
Yeah, right.
You know?
What are we going to take the kids to go
see? Like, they didn't show up this weekend. This movie isn't going
to. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to have a Greatest Showman sort of resurgence.
Right.
But I think if you're wanting to take the kids to the movies, this is kind of your only option at this for a
but
while.
But I bet you this has a 70% drop or something. This is going to make like $6 million.
And Adam's Family is what? 2 weeks out? 3 weeks out?
Yeah, is that the week before Halloween, I think?
Maybe. Yeah. So we're like 2 weeks out from that.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe we have.
Yeah.
And just unadjusted for inflation, looking at other underperforming DreamWorks movies, unadjusted for inflation, Flushed Away made $178 million worldwide.
Wow. Was that the Mouse movie?
That was like,
like the British one,
and it was like from
their
the
Secret Agents or something.
Was that was that from the Wallace and Gromit people?
No, because that was animated. And Wallace and Gromit is the
but the characters.
Oh, they do
like
kind of.
Yeah, I think it was like
their
foray into that.
I think it is because the models looked like that style. As soon as that. The animation hit, I was just like, oh, this
interesting
isn't, I mean, I'm coming off Dragon 3 and I loved that movie and I'm like, oh, this is not the same.
If you're gonna try to compete with the big dogs, you need to bring your game.
Yeah.
And this did not bring its game. Like, this is very, like we said, mediocre.
Yeah. Well, I guess let's just start digging into
so
it. Because there's not much
there
of
really
a story.
Isn't. Yeah.
They find a Yeti, they take it back.
And I, you keep
the
and,
end.
And of course, they get sidetracked and they get caught, and there's all kinds of, you know. It was funny. The Yeti, when they reveal its power, I was like, oh, it's kind of like Elsa. Like, I feel like we're just. Once we get to the.
And I hated this.
What?
That it was magic.
Yeah.
I was
not a huge fan of that either.
Why is that?
Because I felt like it just. Maybe I missed it at the beginning because I was already.
No, he starts doing it in the beginning.
Okay. I don't even remember that. And so it just felt like it came late in the movie. But also, it just felt like they didn't know what else to do with this character. So they're like, make it magic.
But I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, it could have worked as just a big puppy.
Yeah.
You know, like, just a big goofy puppy would have worked the same, but rather than giving him magical powers.
I mean, but I don't fault. I enjoyed the fantasy element, and I didn't need an explanation or anything. I'm like, oh, he's a magical creature. He's already a creature that doesn't exist. You know, he's a Yeti. And so it's
Let's back that train up a second. What do you mean doesn't exist?
Do you have proof?
Do you have proof that it doesn't?
Okay. So I'm like, okay, I'm on board with the magic. And I think that's where a lot of the cuteness comes from, the way that they use it and, you know, the story with the father and stuff. But so... The movie starts off, like you said, with the Yeti is basically being experimented on in a lab. He's able to break out.
Right.
And
which they never explain how he breaks out. Like, all of a sudden, everything
magic.
Just turns off.
I'm guessing
I guess that he did it.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Then how they ever capture him?
That's, I don't know.
Well, we find out he's a baby Yeti, so I'm guessing that he doesn't exactly have control over, like.
But he does have control. He just starts humming.
Right.
And
he knows how to do it. But I think that he discovered it with her, like once she starts playing the music and he got it, then he started using it.
You think he got himself out on accident?
I think, yes. That's how I put the story together.
Sure. Oh, you're going to write the movie for him?
I mean, yeah. I'll take the paycheck.
No, totally. Yeah. Yeah. So he gets out, and then we're introduced to Chloe Bennett's character. And she is kind of. She's. I don't even know how to describe. Like, she's so non. She's just a kid. You know, like, she's a kid that doesn't want to be hanging out with her parents or her mom and grandma. I get that.
Well, here's the deal. She was close with her dad. Her dad recently died. So now she's trying to, you know,
make enough money to do like this trip that they were planning on going on.
Exactly. So she's dealing with the loss of a parent. The grandma and mom wanted to spend more time with family. And, you know, she's more interested in keeping busy and not thinking about the dad and doing a bunch of side hustles to make money.
She's hustling.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not. I
thought it was pretty funny, like taking out the fish heads and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, I the movie started off, I thought it was, you know, pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fine.
But it's when they get into their adventure, I'm like, oh. Okay.
Yeah. And then the Yeti gives them an out every single time. Like, they're never in danger. Like, they're just like, oh, go hum something. He's like, okay.
It's a kid's movie, though, Joe. I mean, no, what do you expect?
The stake, like, they just never, but there was no real, I don't know, sense of tension.
Which I don't, obviously, I don't need sense of tension all the time. Yeah. But when your deus machina, it's just like, go hum something. I'll make that dandelion bigger.
Did you guys ever for a second, even going into this movie, think these kids were going to die on their journey? I mean,
it was one point I was hoping they would.
I mean, so that's, I think they were, for those reasons, I think we're ragging on it for a little, we're being a little too harsh on it because this is very much a kid's movie. And I think that we've seen so many elevated kids films.
Yeah,
and
that's
those
fair.
Are the things that are lacking where I'm like, okay, that's why I wasn't engaged with this movie. But at the end of the day, it's a kid's movie and they're none of these other kids who are the main character are ever going to die, ever going to be harmed.
It made me hate though. The older kid with just like the shoes and the social media. Yeah. I was like, oh no, can we just get rid of that character altogether?
But you know, that's also a lot of kids though. That's kids. And also the Asian culture with the selfies. And
oh really?
I mean, oh. I think that in that culture, so this movie takes place in China and I don't know if they ever say, they don't say Hong Kong, but there's a pretty big city nearby. So I don't know. Yeah. Did you ever catch a city name?
No.
I'm trying to, Beijing.
Oh, it is Beijing?
At the end, she says something about how was your trip to Beijing.
Okay.
When they,
oh, that's true.
But I didn't know if that was Everest, the city that was so close.
Oh, that could have been lying because they lied about what they were doing.
Isn't Everest in Tibet, though?
It's in Tibet, but it borders China.
Yeah, got it.
That's
okay.
Why, I mean,
okay.
It was a long journey.
Sure.
Remember, he said it's thousands of miles.
But it wasn't a long journey.
Yeah.
Well, they flew on clouds for a lot of it. So,
fair.
I mean, again, this is a fantasy movie. I mean, look at movies like, it's hard to compare. I just am trying to put it in a genre, not comparing quality, but like Miyazaki movies, you know, that are animated movies. I mean, fantasy elements, riding on clouds, magic powers. You gotta put this in that genre. And I think, again, it wasn't that good. So we're ragging on it for all of these reasons, but I would not rag on it for being a magical, fantastical movie. I mean, I like those movies, and when done well, they can be very engaging, very fun.
This movie just never brought me in.
It's not written well enough. But so she's doing all these side jobs, saving up her money, she comes home from all this stuff, and the mom asks her to play a song on her violin.
She says, "I sold it." Which I gotta tell you, that was the one scene where I was like, "Ooh, that's not good." If you actually did sell it, that's a dick move.
Yeah.
That's a dick move. But she doesn't sell it. She climbs up to the roof and she starts playing the violin. And the Yeti is up on the roof. They name the Yeti Everest because that's where he lives, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And they
her violin and stuff is blown away by the lab that was doing the research, the company that funds them
with not Merida.
Yeah. they are like in this huge helicopter with a searchlight checking the roof. And she goes to like get her violin that blew away. And she's a big hand of a Yeti.
Right. And then so that they spark up this relationship. He's super apprehensive. She kind of like helps him fix his hand, which got hurt when he got hit by a bus. And then she kind of decides, like, I'll get you home. Like, we'll get you whatever we got to do. We can get you home. We're introduced to the two other characters, who's like a younger kid and an older kid.
And they're cousins. And
they're cousins, but like there's a relationship. And when I say really, I mean like friendship between all three of them. Like they kind of grew up together, but they've all splintered off.
They all live in the same
apartment complex. Yeah. So they finally, that's the problem is there's really nothing happens. Like,
yeah,
the bad guys see the Yeti or the kids see the Yeti at first because he's playing with the AC unit.
I thought that was funny.
Fine.
He's taking the air conditioning unit because he's a Yeti.
He's a Yeti.
He's from Everest. Yeah. So he's blowing the air conditioning unit into his face, like playing with it, you know. And
it looked like he was blowing it into his junk.
Yeah, he did at one point.
I think he's rolling on his back like an animal that's playing and rolling on its back, and he's holding it up.
All that fur in Tokyo, I think.
That's going to get mad.
It's going to get gross and sweaty. Yeah. Give me that AC unit.
Wow. You can tell how disengaged you are from this movie. That's what you remember.
Yeah. So the two cousins come up and they see the Yeti.
Well, also, didn't you guys find this kind of odd? So you've got the grandmother that notices that the AC unit is stolen. And so she thinks a thief stole their AC unit and sends two little kids.
Hey, go get that back.
After a criminal. Like what?
A criminal who's strong enough, climbed down a wall and pulled an AC unit. If you kids know anything about AC units, those things ain't light.
And ultimately, it's her own fault. Did you see how long the cord on that AC unit was? Like it was just like,
is that
how is it so plugged in? You're on the roof of the building.
I was just explaining this to Bella the other day about like not central air, and she was like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Well, my first apartment didn't have air conditioning." And she was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, we just had window units." She goes, "What's a window unit?" I was like, "It's like a mini air conditioner that you plugged into a window."
You're so fancy. Your kids don't have to know what window units
I know. But she couldn't wrap her head around it. And I was like, "No, we had one in one room and we just put a sheet up hoping that it would stay cool."
Yeah.
And then we had one in the bedroom. And she was like, "Whoa." I was like, yeah, now you know how good you have it, you jerk.
But that was the first of many writing choices where I thought, again, I mean, I definitely was able to rationalize it down to dumb kids movie. But that also speaks to how it's not on the level that these kid movies that we've enjoyed. When you talk about the Toy Stories and the Train Your Dragons and even in Shrek, it's like they operate on a different level. They're smart. They're clever. They're witty. And, you know, the zany things you excuse because that's the style of the humor and everything. But they don't make a lot of dumb decisions or things that just don't make sense.
Right.
And this movie, there were things like that where it was like, okay, so you send the kids after a burglar. That's not a smart move. Like that was the first of many where I was thinking like, well, that just doesn't even really.
What are you doing, Grandma?
Oh, okay, whatever.
She didn't even offer like pork buns or anything. So just go get my air conditioner back.
So that's how the other kids see the Yeti. And I thought it was kind of funny when it looked like the Yeti was eating her. Because
right.
They were like playing or something and her legs.
No. That's earlier. That's later when he's like, they're playing. He's playing with.
Well, that's definitely when the kids find her because they think she's being eaten by the Yeti.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because he does eat the other kid later.
Yeah, no, this is when they break onto the roof or go to the roof to find it, it looks like their friend is being eaten by a Yeti.
Okay. Right?
And then she's like, oh, this is my friend.
Everest.
Yeah.
So the helicopter, they hear like a 911 call that the one cousin made.
That's the next one, police scanners. Like you can't scan for incoming phone calls to the police. You can scan for when people are calling. I'm sorry, when the police are calling dispatch to their police officers, but they intercepted on a scanner, police scanner, a public phone call to the police.
Yeah. they haven't since Ferguson. That is not easy to do in St. Louis anymore. They have encrypted the bejesus out of that.
But anyway, so I mean, again, so it's like that's, and see how close this is. And there's another thing where I'm like, but that doesn't even like, it's just not a very smart. They just basically were like, kids movie, who cares? Like they made up and invented a lot of rules that, I mean, I'm not trying to pick these things apart.
No,
but like,
I'm
just like, this doesn't even make sense.
No.
Like at least make it make sense. So anyway. But because I think they wrote themselves into some corners. They wanted some beats. They wanted to follow. Like, how do they find the kids? Oh, well, they intercept on a police scanner. Why do they have a scanner that takes public calls?
Right.
Like, you know, so anyway, but
super secret organization.
Yeah, that's how they find them.
So, yeah, so they go after the Yeti and the Yeti grabs the girl and they start running across the rooftops and the helicopter is chasing them. Finally, they get to like a dock and the girl says, get on that dock. It'll take you where you need to get on that boat. Like a trash.
It almost looked like a barge,
like a trash boat.
Yeah.
It'll take you where you need to go. At this point, the other two cousins are riding a scooter and catch up. So, the main character has like a moment, not a moment of crisis, but like, F it, I'm going. Like, I have nothing here. I don't want to stay here. I'm going to go. So she jumps onto the barge, and that barge must be moving extremely slow.
Well, barges,
I think they would.
All
yeah.
three
barges
of them
are slow.
They're hauling huge.
I guess that's true.
Of, yeah,
all
just...
three of these kids are able to jump onto the barge.
Yeah, but like you see her jump, and she barely makes.
She
it.
She jumps off the end of the dock.
Yeah, and then what feels like 20 minutes later, the other kids are like. Maybe we should go too. Yeah. Now we will jump onto
but the,
this barge.
The short kid that's always trying to get them to play basketball, he doesn't make it, which is to
it's
be
fine.
Fair.
Yeah.
And the Yeti grabs him. And then I was to say, like, the other kid is more athletic. Like, he.
So he cleared like 40 feet.
So he did a big jump. Yeah, big it's. Again, it's a cartoon. I can't. You know, there's certain things like that where I'm just like, okay.
He has superhuman strength in his legs. And he does. He gets nasty goop on his shoes, and he gets all peeved about it because they're his babies.
Yeah,
and I was like, nah, I can appreciate
which is,
that. I get that.
That's high school kids. That's
yeah.
You get new shoes. You don't want them dirty you
until
know?
You scuff them. They're like, nah, well, they're ruined now. May as well just jump in muddy puddles.
For me, that
wish my kids cared about the things I bought them. I don't know.
But no, the new shoe thing, like for me, that lasts a couple days. Like at first, I'm like, okay, not gonna mow the lawn in these, whatever. And then yeah, you step in a puddle, and then you're like, all right, my grass cut shoes.
My parents wouldn't let me wear the shoes until the first day of school. And I was like, but I gotta break them in. They're like, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
They're like, we know what that means. Yeah, right. You break them in, they're
gonna
be
go
a different
play,
color.
Yeah, you're gonna go play in a field and, you know, on a baseball diamond.
At least kids played back then. Like, played outside back then.
No, yeah, I didn't. Back,
oh.
Well. You were ahead of the curve.
I remember Nerf? Nerf, I think, put out, I don't know if you remember these, it was a baseball bat, but in the bat was water.
Oh,
so like
so you
it
hit
was,
the wiffle ball really far.
So like you could when you swung, all the water went to the end of the bat, and you could smash a ball like you know. But on my block, you know, four corners,
you
right?
would freeze them.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Whack! Oh, that's how you collected money from the
right.
nearby businesses.
Hey, look, you got you know,
it's a frozen Nerf bat here.
But like there were sewers.
This is a real nice lemonade stand. Be ashamed if something happened to it.
Give me, I need 25 cents, please. But there were sewers on every corner. So Lord knows how many tennis balls.
It's where the clowns lived.
Well, I'm telling you. Yeah. Well, and they could have gotten us. They're like, hey, we got your ball down here. Oh, thank God. We're out of them. So yeah, so they all jump on the barge and, they end up in the forest.
The barge that is like hauling soda, isn't that?
Oh yeah, that's it. And then of course,
thought that was interesting. Again, I don't know how things work in China, but it was.
They have soda there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that answered my question.
I can confirm that.
But it was funny that okay, so this boat was hauling. It was like a barge. It was hauling trash in one section, and then attached
like
to the
goods.
Trash part was a soda crate. And I'm like, that's an odd. Okay, I guess it's efficient. I mean, one boat. Well.
It's got to get there.
I've just never seen a barge hauling goods. But okay. Yeah, right. But okay.
So yeah, so they get in the one crate with all the soda, and the young kid loses his mind. Yeah. He's like, Mom never lets me have any of this.
I thought it was pretty funny when I think it was the Yeti drank it, and then his eyes got real dilated.
Yeah, yeah.
They, like in the sugar and caffeine.
Sure, why not? That's
but
fine.
They end up, I noticed that whenever they get out of the crate and all the
there's
cans
no sodas
out,
left
they're empty. They drank like 1,000.
I can give the fact that the Yeti
sure.
demolished some soda, but
that
kid
was also going right.
It seemed normal to
me. Oh. I love that. Yeah.
Tom's like, what's your point?
For those who don't know how many sodas Tom drinks in a day, that's hilarious. Tom's like, okay, yeah, typical.
Yeah, that's
if I was stuck in a soda crate. Yeah,
that seems like the most realistic aspect of the film.
That seems on par. Yeah. I'm with it.
And there's four of them there, and it's one of them's a Yeti. Yeah, that math works out for me. Yeah.
So yeah, so they end up in the like they
drop them onto a truck that they were trying to get out, but then they actually dropped their crate onto a like a trailer, and so it's
right.
All
and then
to,
that trailer, the truck, the crate falls off the truck and crashes down, and the kid, like the social media kid, is super pissed because, you know, the girl led them here and I've had a hard time with that kid where I'm just like, no, you chose to jump on the barge. Like, she didn't lead you anywhere. You could have just let her go.
Well, the thing is that his family had tasked him with looking after the little kid. And so when the little kid decided to run after and join her, he was there to protect him.
But it's still not her fault.
Well, he chased after her. And so I think he was just putting the blame on to
her
because he's his obligation to protect the kid.
Right. So. Yeah. So then they start making their way to Everest. Like, you're like, it's in the distance and we're going to walk there. I was like, well, this is going to be like Lord of the Rings. So good luck.
So meanwhile, so there's,
no, that was interesting.
So there's this Bennett, I think, is like, he's basically this old rich guy that we find out had a run in with a Yeti when he was younger, and nobody believes him, as most of these stories go. And so he has made it his life's goal to put tons of resources into capturing a Yeti, but not for malicious purposes. He wants to capture it to prove that he's not crazy. Now, the interesting thing with this movie is that I just a few months ago saw a movie called Missing Link. And I I don't think you guys had seen it.
No.
But I talked about it on the show. Hugh Jackman, Zach Galifianakis. Great movie. Really funny. It's Laika, you know, who puts out these awesome, it's, you know, stop motion animation. Really
that's
great
the,
animation.
Is it the Koba people? People did Koba?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Laika. Yeah. So I had just seen this movie, which is about a rich, like, guy that explores and finds hidden animals and like things that people have never discovered and is trying to go after the missing link.
Yeah.
And goes on a journey. I'm like, this is kind of the same exact movie. Now it's not dealing with kids and all that stuff and a dead father. So, I mean, obviously the story is a little different, but overall the story of trying to get this missing link and the friendship that they gain, you know, I'm just like, I've seen this movie. And even the showdown of this movie, like the showdown of the missing link happens like on a bridge in the snow.
Really?
I'm just like watching this movie and I'm like, how, what? So anyway, I highly recommend that. Like, that's the video recovery to this movie.
Oh,
because
okay,
it's about
okay.
a very similar topic and it's very entertaining. You know, Zach Galifianakis, Hugh Jackman's great in the role. It's fun, but that had the humor.
Sure.
That was an endlessly entertaining movie where there was very clever writing.
Yeah, it got really good reviews.
Yeah,
people stuck around for a while because people kept discovering it.
Yeah, that's one that I would definitely recommend picking up on home video, and I don't know what it's selling for because it's been out a few months now, but it's worth owning. It's a fun watch, but I kept going back to that because they were so similar, but I'm like, wow, I was so entertained by Missing Link.
Mm.
You know, this one was missing the missing link, and this one was all of the humor and the writing. So go watch that one. But I was just curious if either of you had seen it since because it was very reminiscent of it.
Yeah, so they crash land, and this is the first time we get to see the magic of the Yeti.
Sorry, I was explaining the Bennett guy though. So like Bennett is trying to find the Yeti just to prove that he's not crazy, which
right.
is the exact same thing Hugh Jackman's character. He wants to join the International Society of blah blah blah. They think he's crazy because he's after the missing link.
Yeah.
He wants to prove to them. So anyway, this guy wants to do that, but meanwhile he has this lead researcher not Merida that she starts out seeming like an animal lover and she's like, oh, we have to protect the Yeti and whatever. And we find out later it's a huge front. She wants to kill
the
Yeti.
She's not British.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part where she just dropped. She's like, oh, God, I can't.
Stupid
British accent. I was like, all right, that's pretty good.
So we find out that she's really the villain, but it's one of those bait and switches where you think it's like the old crazy guy, but really he just wants to do good.
Which is like, it's the most interesting thing they do in the movie. I was like, well, all right.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that coming either. Yeah. I'm like, the last thing I expected with this movie and the kind of generic plot was like a twist reveal, and
it's a twist.
Yeah, just a twist. Those are the main antagonists that are chasing after our characters.
I do kind of like the red shirts where the guy's like, oh man, you just shot Doug with the dart, and he was like, oh well.
How about not Patrick Warburton?
I know, right?
That wasn't probably him.
Well, it's an Asian cast. I would presume it's not him.
I guess they wouldn't cast an American.
But,
but
I mean, I hope it was not him. But this guy was clearly trying to do the most Patrick Warburton.
The who was he? Was he Grunk?
Crunk and or whatever. And
Gronk?
And
Emperor's New
Groove.
Yeah.
But you all know Patrick Warburton. I mean, he's got that. He's Joe and Family Guy. He's got that
voice.
Yeah.
I love the, is he singing his own theme song? And he's like doing the like dun dun dun. Emperor's New Groove is one of those ones that like
that's
nobody talks
hit.
About. That's a great one.
That is a great animated movie that fell into that shallow period or fallow period.
It's right in the middle.
And people
they
missed it, you know. And people have seen it, love it. But that's not on the level of the Aladdins and all that. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like people don't revere it as one of those. But it's a really good Disney movie.
That's David Spade and John Goodman and Eartha Kitt.
Yeah. You've got to see that if you haven't, because I had never seen it, you know, and I'm a big Disney fan, but Katie loves it. It's one of her favorite movies. She showed
one.
It to me just a couple years ago, and I'm like, this is great.
Yeah. That's Jonathan Warburton is the Patrick Warburton is the Gronk or whatever.
Gronk, I think. Yeah, that sounds right.
But yeah, so they the kids are hungry, and this is the first time we get to see the powers of the Yeti. And he hums a couple bars. I'm assuming by the guy from Coldplay, because that's the song they keep playing every single time. Oh God, I hate Coldplay. But
so we find out isn't she playing the violin and he hums to it?
No. Oh,
I didn't think he just started doing it. I'm pretty sure he hummed along with her playing violin.
I think.
Oh, maybe and that's right. how we discover.
But the violin doesn't work until they get to the.
Well, it's not working. It's she's playing the violin,
right? But I mean, the violin, like when she plays the violin later, she's the one who starts like sprouting the flowers.
Because it has to break first for them to put Yeti hairs in it. So
is that what it is? Really?
Yeah. Because he's magical, and so they replace it with Yeti for the strings.
I'm glad you paid attention.
Yeah. Were you watching this movie?
Not really.
But anyway, so.
I missed it, too.
Oh, okay. So
it's actually kind of clever.
Yeah. Well, you guys.
Makes me like it slightly more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you think she was just doing magic?
I did. I was like, okay, so we're closer to the mountain, so, like, she's got powers now?
No. This is all explained. This can all be explained, folks. All right. So, but anyway, so she's like, she misses her father, and inside her violin case, she's got a picture of the two of them,
right.
And they're going on this journey that we find out she's set up of all the places he wanted to go. But she starts playing the violin at one point, and then he does that and hums along, and he kind of has a blue glow to him,
right.
And it's that he can interact with nature. It's always nature around him. So whether flowers are sprouting up or the landscape is moving, he can manipulate anything that has to do with
nature. He destroyed
that
one part of town.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I'm like, oh, this is all fun until all these farmers are devastated
the wave of grass and land and stuff. But yeah,
all those flowers are gone.
Right. He makes giant blueberries.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you could hear the little kids laughing when the guy's like, I have, you know, blueberry butt.
Yeah.
I was like, well,
that's one of those very
that's who that joke's
basic.
For. Yeah. That's, yeah.
So this is one of those things that, of course, like I'm thinking, you know, with my adult mind, and I'm like, okay, so they're eating these blueberries that are continuously growing. I'm thinking if they eat these things, they're going to explode. What
they're
part of the
look
magic?
Like Veruca Salt, yeah, Veruca,
especially
yeah.
when you mix them with all that soda.
Yeah. What part of this magic tells them to stop growing? Because we see that they're eating these huge blueberries, but the ones around them, he can't control. Like, because again, he's just, I think, discovering the powers.
Right.
And so, like, it's all fun and games until these things are huge, right? And start exploding and chasing them and everything. So I'm like, they're eating these. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, they're going to explode.
There was a. That's made me think of this. There was a Marvel comic book called Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
And so, like, the Hulk turned into a zombie. And so he would eat, like, you know, do what he ever did as the Hulk. But when he turned back into Banner, his stomach was, like, he had so much stuff in his stomach that it would explode because it's not the same size when the Hulk did it. And that made me, I was like, man, if they just eat, like, what if they don't chew up the blueberry?
Right.
And they just, boop. And then all of a sudden it just keeps, well, we got dead kids.
Yeah.
Like
so, but anyway, but they ended up, you know, it's the joke is they're all getting messy. They're exploding and
right.
you know, all over them.
And then they have like a moment where he's being a jerk to her and they kind of all fall asleep. Is that right? I think there's like a moment where he's kind of being a jerk and they all kind of.
I just remember that, see, the funny joke was, you know, I've got blueberries in places blueberries should never be. That's the joke. But then he walks away and he has a blueberry on each butt cheek in his pants. And I'm like, why would you keep those around?
Yeah,
like, out of there.
Take them out.
It was like it was a funny joke. And then they're like, oh, we don't want to offend anybody. We meant he has two blueberries in his pants.
Who are you going to offend with blueberries?
Well, I've got places where blueberries shouldn't be. Like, I think they were like, oh, we want to make sure that we explain.
That he doesn't have blueberries up his butt.
Because, well, when you say that, you just think in your pants or they had to explain their two round, unsquished blueberries are making up his butt cheeks because that is good, wholesome family entertainment.
Sure, sure.
So I just thought, oh, why did you have to explain that joke? It was a funny joke.
Right.
Just let it be. So,
they're trying to make their way to the city. I guess this town, and that's where they're going to, that's the next point of this movie. And they all kind of, I think they all split up. Are they climbing up the mountain? And then this is where they do the dandelion.
So drones start attacking them.
That's what it is. They're climbing up the side of this mountain. They see these drones. We realize that they have been leaving a trail. Even Bella goes, they're just going to follow those soda cans.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know.
Yeah, I mean, it was so obvious to set up because I was thinking like Hansel and Gretel. You know, I'm thinking,
right.
Oh, they're leaving the cans and follow them. But it's like also no person car element has disturbed the soda cans. Like, you do realize right, round perfect, soda cans perfect roll, line, right?
Right. Like, unless you run them over.
It's different when you leave an object like breadcrumbs or whatever that just stays on the ground, but it's like these are round and they were on their side. Like, they don't just stay put. They're on hills and stuff. Yeah. So, it, again, it's writing that it's like, yeah, dumb kids movie, but also, like, it's just too ridiculous. Like, it just, when you interject things that are like physics of how the real world works, it stops being like, oh, just ignore it. It's like, but that doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Like, unless they're just like, they're going back and setting them up each one by
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I don't think they left them standing up. And then they'd be light and the wind would blow over.
That's true, yeah. So, well, you got to leave just a little bit in the
but
bottom.
They've, yes, they followed the soda cans.
Right. And then, so they get to this, they're climbing up the side of this mountain. They see these drones. And this is where the Yeti uses his powers to create a giant dandelion. That the girl and the young kid kind of take off on. They're mm-hmm. like, we'll meet you at this city. And then the older kid's like, cool. See you later, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I'm going to get caught by the evil corporation yeah. now. Cool. So they're kind of floating, and then the drones get taken out by, like, the little, like the not little, but now the giant, like, dandelion. Are they dandelions or daffodils?
Dandelion.
Okay. What's a daffodil? The yellow
just
ones?
Another kind of flower, yeah.
The yellow?
I think they can be different.
All right.
Yeah. Well, but dandelion me. Are the things that are that look...
You blow on them and they blow. Yeah.
They're white and then they turn into like, they're not sunflowers, but they're yellow looking flowers.
Right,
they're
right, right. Yes, exactly. Bastards.
But yeah, it's like, oh, it's all fun and games. It's all cute when you blow those dandelions until you have 1,000 yeah, in your yard. Right. It's like each one of those is a seed kid.
Yeah.
Because you know, as kids, you used to always blow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so cute to watch. Grow.
We used to, we would climb in trees and grab like the little helicopters
yeah.
and just be like, woo!
Yeah, which each are a tree.
Right.
It's like Joe is responsible for the St. Louis yeah. overpopulation of dandelions and those stupid.
Stupid helicopter trees.
Helicopter trees, yeah.
So, yeah, so they float away.
They float off. He gets captured.
Well, he doesn't get captured. Like, he kind of gets. It's not captured because, like, they're still playing the, like, the good.
But
she's still a bad, like, she's still playing
but
the good
know,
guy.
We know this organization, someone is up to no good trying to get the,
sure,
they're the bad
sure.
guys. He gets taken by the bad guys. And this is where I think the sense of danger comes in. It's like, you don't know what is going to happen to this kid. Is he going to get back to them? Are they going to turn him? He doesn't really.
Well, he does kind of turn him where he says, like, the gal, the not Meredith kind of says, look, he's in danger. Like, we're just
right,
trying to help
him.
Can you tell us where they're going? And he tells yeah. them where they're going to be. Mm-hmm. But he can't sleep in the perfectly nice satin sheets that they provided for him, and he gets up and runs away and gets in a boat, right? Is this where he gets in the boat?
Sounds right.
Okay. And the kids, like, they land somewhere close to the city. They get there, and they're waiting for the other
kid. They have to disguise him as a yak.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, how are we going to get to town to find this kid? And so they end up, like, putting a mop on his head or something. You know, it's just goofy. Because
a mop head's big enough to hide
yeah.
the Yeti.
Just a goofy joke where there's all the, like, yak herders walking around.
Right.
And so they're walking around with him. Yeah, totally no one would be able to tell.
Not at all.
But I thought it was kind of funny when there was an old guy dressed exactly like the older kid.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he turns
right,
around
right.
it's an old guy wearing the same outfit.
That's a very trendy outfit for that old man in this random village in
yeah.
outside
that
Tibet.
That was a funny joke, though.
So, yeah, so the bad guys show up.
The one of the yaks starts eating like
oh,
the,
yeah,
mop
pulls
strings
the mop
or whatever,
strings off, yeah.
And so then they're discovered and it starts running away.
Right, so then the cousin shows up on a boat. Now he's starting to look like Rambo because he has like his. Oh, this was a fun scene where the kid's running away.
It was funny.
It was. I liked this one.
Because this kid is like
he's running with
he's
his,
a
like
cool
his...
guy. He's playing it like he's cool, but he's not a tough guy or anything. And he has to run into the forest and there's all the owls with their eyes and stuff.
Right.
He's got his flashlight and charges into it. And you see on his phone like GPS that
and
he's
just
gone
running around in circles.
Crazy.
Yeah. Which I was fine.
It's a good little laugh.
Yeah.
But he like to toughen himself up, tore
his.
His vest, his
cashmere,
oh, his cashmere
sweater.
That's cashmere, and makes a headband out of it. Yeah.
I had a cashmere sweater that I was never allowed to wear. Mom's like, no, put it back.
Like right. your new shoes,
like my new shoes. Yeah, like we know what you're gonna do to that sweater. Do you have any much that sweater?
I gotta break my sweater.
Yeah,
did your parents have like plastic? Like
my grandparents did
on all the furniture.
I mean, it got to the point where like they were just like, whatever. Yeah. He's gonna ruin it anyway.
Yeah, he'll find a way.
Yeah. Just like their lives.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. So yeah, so they get on this boat and then all of a sudden the bus, the enemy bus, can turn into a boat as well.
Yeah.
And then they use the scene where they use the Yeti to destroy crops upon crops of stuff. and then So they get there.
Apparently, the Yeti was a big fan of Man of Steel.
That's so good.
As some of us were, too. Join us for episode 500 when we revisit Man of Steel.
So they get, you know, the boat. They get away from the bad guys because they can move faster than the boat, than the bus or whatever. This is the puking scene where, like, you think they're going to puke, but then they just, like...
I did appreciate this joke. I like absurd.
Just flowers.
I like the absurdity.
Yeah,
it
didn't bother me. Well, no. I just meant more when you were listing all this kind of scatological humor, which I know is specifically puke. Poop, but but still,
it's all
Yeah, I was like, fluids. They also figured out a way to work in a puke joke.
But it's like the little kid acts like he's gonna puke, but he just like coughs up a flower, like a flower,
right?
And the Yeti's like, oh, and you think it's really coming, and it is like a projectile, straightforward stream of just those
flower petals,
dandelions. Or whatever, it's like the yellow flowers. Right. And I thought it was funny because, again, that's that absurd, ridiculous, like, it's like 10 straight seconds of a stream of flowers. It's funny.
It was fine. I didn't mind that one.
I didn't like his laugh.
I'm like, yeah, he was fine. Whatever.
His laugh kind of bothered me, but at all.
That's the one thing.
Yeah.
I just thought it was annoying. Like, I didn't like his. I just thought I didn't like it. But.
This is when the violin was broken. She's all upset about it, rightfully so. They are expensive.
Joseph Izzo, who voiced Everest. That's also another DreamWorks guy. He was Wolf Soldier 1 in Kung Fu Panda 2.
Ooh.
He was in How to Train Your Dragon under Miscellaneous.
As long as you can get work.
Production on The Croods. He was in another Kung Fu Panda. So he's a voice guy that's worked a lot with DreamWorks.
Yeah, he's working. That's good. She's all upset about it, and this is the scene where the Yeti, Everest, fixes her, which I didn't realize that he had done with his own, like, hair.
Mm-hmm. Her violin's broken. Obviously, it was her father's, and it meant a lot. So she's very depressed by it.
All of her postcards are gone.
Yeah.
At this point. So, and then this is where they realize that Everest apparently has been taking them to all of the spots that they wanted to go on purpose.
Well, I think the journey to get to Everest was. I mean, all these things are along the way. I mean, I don't know if they veered too far out of the path, but you know what I mean. Like,
sure.
Between their China and Everest, or where were they in Beijing or outside of Beijing, wherever, between there and Everest, there's all these stops, and they show early on in the movie the way that she has them pinned up. Everest takes note of that, and so that's where you know that he saw that plan, and I think the ending, I guess, was Everest.
I guess
so. It's like he knew, oh, I could take her to all these different spots. I mean, that's again the cutesy part of it. It's
sure.
Just, yeah.
So then they get to this, like, this Buddha, this giant Buddha, and she starts playing her violin, and
flowers spread.
And I will say, I did appreciate that if you look at the Buddha, at the statue, like, the only places where flowers were growing were where, like, there was moss,
the grass and stuff,
which I was like, okay, at least they're sticking to their own rules.
Definitely.
which in a movie like this, you don't expect them to do.
Yeah. But they didn't just create flowers out of nowhere. They came out of the ground.
Right. Right.
Yes, that's where flowers come from.
Correct. But you know what I mean? Like, you look at this movie and you're just like, well.
But they could just manifest.
Yeah. Out of the side of concrete. I'm like, well, that's not how
but
that works.
But the magic controls the nature. And it has to be like he manipulates snow or lightning or whatever. It's always nature related. It's not like he's just making like Green Lantern inventions to help them along.
A giant racetrack for no apparent reason.
What is a pail and a sand bucket.
That's the Wonder Twins.
Oh, was it them? Okay.
Yeah. The Wonder Twins are like form of bucket and a form of a fish.
Yeah, it was always
water.
It was always like form of some type of liquid, form of something to hold some type of liquid.
Green Lantern in the movie, they were just like, he would make like a baseball bat. And I was like, well, you can do more than that. Like it's your imagination.
Well, he was thinking about baseball.
That's true.
Blake
Lively. What are you going to do? Yeah. Man, I always wonder what that, like, if they ever do that again, what that's going to look like. Just because that one was so bad.
Green Lantern again?
Like, what is it? If it's an Abrams, it doesn't matter. It does matter because that's one of my favorite heroes. But, so they see Everest in the distance and they're like, how are we going to get there? And they start riding clouds.
Yeah, well, so earlier in the movie, they had shown the koi, which like are the equivalent of our salmon here that swim upstream. And so that's a metaphor for how no matter what, the koi, they keep going against the water and keep trying to get to their place. And so they see Everest as the destination, the koi, and they ride clouds and they're like cloud fish. Yeah. And they're riding them up to the,
the joke that my kid liked the most was the whooping snakes.
Oh, I loved it.
Those were that. I liked
this. My favorite character in the movie. I'm glad you mentioned it. So at the very beginning, Bennett, who's voiced by Eddie Izzard, they're just having him like create, like he's trying to find animals that don't exist, and it's crazy. So they found or invented, researched these whooping snakes, and they literally just whoop whoop whoop, and they pop up. And so he's like trying to whack a mole with his cane, and there's one that escapes, and he pops up throughout this movie in the most random place, and just goes whoop. And like at the end of a scene, it will be finished, and this is the humor I love, where a scene is done, and they go one step further, like a Simpsons joke.
It's the cloud of the chance of meatballs.
Yeah. And he just pops up whoop whoop. And so once we see the, I didn't stay through the credits. Did anyone?
I did.
No.
You did?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Do we see whooping snake again?
He eats that little
the mouse.
The mouse. So like it's just pictures for the most part.
Yeah.
And then but he eats the mouse. Bennett like gets the mouse out of the snakes. Okay. And then at the very, very end, he pops up and just goes whoop.
Yes. Okay. That's what. So I was sad because I forgot. I was ready to get out of there.
I don't blame you.
But when we see the whooping snake in the movie for the last time, it's a pretty big break between then and the end, because I remember they were riding clouds and I'm like, is he going to pop out of a cloud? I was waiting for the whooping snake because I loved that character. And so we never saw him again. And after we left the theater, I go to Katie and I go, I bet you he's in the end credits.
Yeah, he was.
Something towards the end. Like maybe it says the end and he just pops up whoop out of nowhere.
He does.
Okay. Yeah. So I was happy to hear that, because that was the best character. You know, in Finding Dory, you have Gerald and you have Hey Hey.
Gerald will always be my favorite in that, like, that favorite side. That's not a main character.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But you have Hey Hey and Moana. You have Gerald. There's that goofy, random animal sidekick type character.
Do you know who the voice of those other two sea lions were?
Oh, I did. But
it's Dominic West and Idris Elba
from
The Wire.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're the two bad, the good guy and the bad guy from The Wire. Yeah. Yeah,
but anyway, so love the whooping snake. I'm glad he makes a return.
He does.
He was great.
He does.
Yeah.
So they get to the this bridge and they're going to get across, and of course the bad guys catch them. Everest pulls an Elsa and jumps to the top of the bridge and just starts raining snow and all this other stuff.
A lot of Elsa imagery in this when he's manipulating the snow. Yeah.
And it's tough. I mean, like if you're going to do the Himalayas, you're going to have Everest. You're going to do snow and all that stuff, but Disney is just like, well, we've cornered that market. Yeah, so
it's just hard not to draw parallels.
Sure. Then they hit him with a trank dart. Well, I guess Bennett has come around. He realizes that he wasn't attacked. He saw a Yeti protecting a little Yeti.
That's another thing I hate, going back to my complaints. When they have trank darts loaded for huge animals and they shoot a human,
that would kill them. Oh, yeah.
And they shot the Yeti with approximately 7,000 trank darts.
Yeah, that Yeti's dead.
Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, if they've got it set for a big animal and, they're trying to subdue this, okay, maybe 1, 2, 3, maybe, and he's alive. But, like, you can't shoot an animal with a dose for 700 and so I just don't like it when they
agree.
I think it's funny or whatever that people are getting shot with trank darts, but
you're dead absolutely. So they capture the Yeti, they turn on, this is the reveal, that the heel turn, if you will, where the not Merida,
she takes her glasses off, lets her hair, down
and loses the accent, and I was like, well, I mean, if you're gonna go for it, let's go for it.
Who is that actress?
I don't know.
Was it Sarah Paulson?
Yeah. Oh, it was?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
As I start watching, not the new season of
American Horror Story,
the last season. I didn't watch Apocalypse.
I've never seen any.
Are you serious?
I actually asked Brad over the weekend. I'm like, I have a little time. I'm trying to, should I watch a movie or start a new show? I'm like, I've never seen any. Should I even?
You got to start at the beginning.
Try it? Really?
You have to start a Murder House.
He says The Odd Ones are good, which 1, 3, 5. He said he didn't watch the last one.
I disagree.
Really?
Well, I think 1, 2, 3.
Well, you are a horror guy. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
maybe you like.
But you need to watch them because there's characters that pop up in every single one from each. Like, it's all connected.
But I thought they weren't connected.
No, they are all connected.
Oh, well, it is an anthology, so yeah. I am looking forward.
Same cast. It's a good, like, there are some seasons that aren't as good as others.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a good show.
Okay. Yeah.
They're doing if they make this work, it's basically Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
In this new season.
I'm excited because that new season is the 80s horror.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's why I almost wanted to start watching now, and I didn't know if
you
should.
I think you might be able to get away with this one.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm only 2 episodes in, so it's possible.
Gotcha.
So they...
she basically murders the girl.
She does, yeah.
I mean, attempted murder.
She throws her off a... There was a... When she throws her off the bridge, I'm looking at Belle, and I was like, well, is she going to ask me if she's dead, or is she just going to accept the fact that this kid caught a rope and is just hanging there like a champ?
But, I mean, we all know as
she doesn't
being,
know about Gwen Stacy yet.
I'm telling you.
How does your child not know about Gwen Stacy?
She does, because her sister's name is Gwen.
Is she worried for her sister's
safety?
Yeah,
she's like, God,
don't
let her fall off a bridge.
But, so, I mean, we all know that, obviously, the main character isn't dead in this kid's movie, but, I mean, this...
What a twist.
The Sarah Paulson character this whole time is like, well, we have to get rid of these kids because they know their whole evil plan and all that. And they just kind of say, oh, now your job is to get rid of these kids. But then she straight up like kicks her off the bridge.
Right.
Like, this is Sparta.
She Spartas her.
Yeah. And
so, yeah.
And I'm just like, holy crap. It's always just, for me, it's hard in a kid's movie when the bad guy actually attempts murder on a kid. Because you're like, yeah, you know it's not going to happen. But they did that.
They
right.
did.
That's
yeah. They hoped that kid. Well, she even says, she goes, that's one down.
Yeah.
Whoa, Jesus.
That is dark in a kid's movie. But yeah, she caught.
She climbs back up. She plays the violin. The Yeti wakes up. Everest wakes up. He goes Super Saiyan. He goes like, Savage Wolverine.
I mean,
at this point, and just starts tearing.
But with
things
the
apart.
Powers, it looks like a Saiyan out of Dragon. Yeah. Like, he busts out of the truck. He's like demolishes all the other. He sends like a lightning wave through them or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
he turns into Thor.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So they basically take everybody out. Bennett,
the main truck, he swerves using his snow powers or whatever into like a. Doesn't it like
another like icicle thing?
Yeah, but like they end up being able to break free, and she, like, the main lady ends up taking over control, and then she tries to run over the Yeti,
right?
So she like pushes him into a snowbank.
Yeah,
and then after that though, the Yeti, what does he do?
He just breaks out.
Yeah, like, he breaks free, but they're definitely dead.
Oh, absolutely,
now, they're dead. Yeah. But they're bad guys, so it's a little
different.
Matter. But he takes that truck and just sends it off. Like,
yeah,
off.
He does, he Superman twos it.
Yeah,
I'm just like, you know, those those guys are dead.
Yeah,
those Kryptonians ain't coming back. Yeah. So they take the Yeti back to his family. Everything's
when we see that he's a baby.
He's
Yeti.
A baby, and these massive, massive Yetis.
In the flashback, the old guy, we see when he's young, and he discovers, and he sees like the Yeti that we know, like size character, and four baby, like tiny, tiny babies. And so we're like, okay, those are babies. This is maybe an adult or whatever, you know, a young adult Yeti is what we're thinking. But the adult Yetis are gigantic.
Massive.
I mean, we're talking about like not 10, 20, they're like 80 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah, which I always picture them
and
as
I
like,
think they're the babies from his flashback, because there were four of them,
four
big ones.
Okay,
so
that
I think
makes
now
sense.
They've grown up.
Yeah,
just to put them
and had babies of their own.
Exactly.
Yeah, so everything, they get back to the city, she reconnects with her family, everything's great. Then there's a box at the door.
Yeah, the old guy sends him a box
For your next adventure. Yeah.
And that's where,
please, dear God,
which
no.
Judging by this box office, they ain't getting.
Thought the whooping snake was going to pop out of the box.
Oh no, he comes back at the very end, and that's kind of how it ends.
I want a whooping snake spinoff, though.
Oh no, you don't.
Come on. You don't.
Yeah,
like Minions, but
no,
whooping snake,
exactly like Minions, which is why no, you don't.
Oh,
so yeah, mediocre at best. It's
like
it's interesting.
Said, it's cute, but it's not.
You're going to find this in the $5 bin in 3 years.
No, you're going to find this on Netflix.
And be like, what?
Yeah. What was this
when
movie?
Was this a thing?
Episode 513.
Yeah.
I just wish they would have put the A-team in charge of this, though, because going back to what I said in the beginning, I like what they were trying to do. I like the representation of Asian culture. I like they had an all-Asian cast in it. We go to places that we don't normally go to in these movies. So I like a lot, and I like the fantastical element and the family part and the friendship that they, you know, bond with this Yeti. I like a lot of the elements of it, but I just don't feel like they applied the writers and the animation to it that would have made this a breakout hit. And I wish they did, because there's something here. It is a very cute story, but very slow and just loses your interest easily.
Yeah, I was so disinterested.
Yeah,
in this
I was coming the same way. The kid liked it, and she, you know, whatever.
It's a shame, because it's one of those things, like when the studio is going to make a movie, it's just another reason to point to it. Like, you know, let's make this movie with an all Asian cast. It's not a celebrity. I'm not saying these people aren't anybody, but you know, they're not packing.
They're
it
not A-listers.
The general,
it's not Tom Hanks and Tim Allen.
Yes, we know that the way animated movies work is these days they pack it with the biggest cast they can of celebrities. And in this movie, they went with an all Asian cast, and I think that's great for the movie and the representation. But then it doesn't do well, and it's just like, our studio is now going to not take as many gambles. That's always the question.
There's a big budget Marvel movie with an Asian lead, so.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying, this is like the animated.
Totally.
You know, another one for the animation, and it's not a, you know, like a Hayao Miyazaki. It's not a foreign, you know, this is a DreamWorks production. And, you know, I wanted it to succeed and I wanted it to be good. And it's unfortunate.
There you go. Yeah.
So anyway, I guess that's it.
It was abominable.
yes, it was. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
Ms. Joe, you can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. 1 hour, 60 minutes of suck right there.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
We didn't even need to call it.
We didn't.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do so at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Of course, while you're in front of your computer, internet delivery device, find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify,
the Walkman
store, wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and the pride of knowing you helped out.
Thank
so
you. I think Kevin and I are going to do some episodes this week.
Awesome. Yeah. So, that's it for this week. Next week, we will tackle Joker. That's Judy. A no-brainer. No. There's no reason to convene to discuss that one.
That might be a double episode. We'll see.
So anyway, that's what you have to look forward to. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Harry isn't alone.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.